The other writers I've decided to talk about today are people that I've met through the UU Musicians Network. We have a conference every summer. This year it's in Dallas, Texas, in the summer, and which I'm going to. And these events are a wonderful way to get to know other musicians from both Canada and the U.S., while also learning new skills and finding new repertoire. So it's a wonderful conference. I've been going for years. I met the composer of our next song many years ago at my very first conference. Mimi Bornstein-Doble is a professional choral director, pianist, singer, and composer who lives in Maine. I've chosen to use her song Comfort Me for the meditation because it's a good illustration of how we keep trying to be religiously inclusive. This song is asking for help, a prayer, if you like. We all have our own way of looking for guidance, for strength, for something that will help us feel less alone. Some people pray, perhaps calling on a deity. Others meditate, trying to reach deep inside themselves for inner tranquility. Some immerse themselves in nature. Still others contemplate the words of great writers and philosophers in search of wisdom or some form of solace. Whatever our method or beliefs, there are times when we want to be comforted, to be healed, to be reassured. This very simple song allows us to ask for that comfort in an open-ended way. Nothing is said about who or what is being addressed in the imperative, comfort me. Each of us interprets that in our own way. So we're going to use this as a sung meditation followed by silence. You won't need your books, by the way. You can just relax. Put them aside. Relax into your chair and close your eyes if you wish to. Get in touch with your own breath, your own breathing. This is your time to ask for whatever you may be needing right now. Some kind of healing or forgiveness. Perhaps a sense of hope rather than despair. I will sing it through once, then please join with me. Try out some harmony if you feel so inclined, and just relax into the intent of the song. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, O my soul. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, O my soul. Sing it with me. Comfort me, comfort me, comfort me, O my soul. Comfort me, comfort me, comfort me, O so walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me, O my soul. Walk with me. Sing with me, oh sing, sing with me, sing with me, my soul, sing. comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me. Oh, my soul. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me. Oh, my soul. One of the words we've had some trouble with over the past century is the word belief. We've come up with statements like, you don't have to believe anything to be a Unitarian, or as a Unitarian, you can believe whatever you want. We've tended to place our emphasis on the word values and downplayed the idea that beliefs might have a place in our religious tradition. Well, I think they do have a place. And we don't have to look that hard to find one source that's really prominent, which is our UU principles. We actually believe in a lot of things, beginning with the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We believe in that. We also believe in justice, equity, and compassion, and in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. There's much that we believe in, whether we choose to use the word or not. I understand why we've been so averse to using the word belief when describing Unitarianism. After all, it took considerable courage and initiative to break away from commonly held beliefs about Christianity more than 400 years ago when we first began as a movement. There was a rebellion against believing in specific dogmas of the Christian Church, and our own faith grew out of that rebellion. But we seem to throw out the word itself instead of adapting it to our own use. Belief has to do with what is at the core of our being. And it's a word I don't think we should be afraid to use. There's nothing wrong with the word values, of course, and we use that a lot. It just seems to me a more utilitarian word somehow. Values speaks to my head, while belief speaks more to my heart. In any case, Shelley Jackson Denham certainly uses it in her hymn, number 354, We Laugh, We Cry. Would you like to turn to that one? 354. In the chorus, she says, and we believe in life and in the strength of love. And further on, she says, we have our hearts to give, we have our thoughts to receive, and we believe that sharing is an answer. Shelley believes in life, in love, in sharing, among other things, and has expressed her beliefs here very clearly. She is another writer I've met through the UUMN. She is a folk singer and writer who lives in North Carolina and has several selections in our hymnals. This is probably her best known among Unitarians. So let's sing for this one, verses 1 and 3. Would you stand as you're willing and able?
Thank you.
One of the great musical challenges of our religious faith has been finding ways to transition from a church that began as basically Christian into something more religiously liberal. Our roots are definitely Judeo-Christian, but more than 400 years ago, there were those who began to have doubts about some of the church dogma of the time, one of which involved the idea of the Trinity. Dividing God into Father, Son, and Holy Ghost became a matter of great debate, with early Christians such as Michael Servetus arguing that God is not three, but one, hence the emergence of the word Unitarian. This was the beginning of a deep and lasting ideological split for which Servetus paid with his life. He was burned at the stake in 1553. Unitarianism has evolved a great deal since then, and we are now much more broadly based religiously. Since most of us are part of Western civilization, however, or perhaps were brought up in a Christian home, we are generally familiar with many of the stories in the Bible, particularly the story of the Nativity. Many Unitarian churches still do pageants about the birth of Jesus because they feel an affinity for the story and value its message of peace and goodwill toward all humankind. I am one of those people, and it's the reason I wrote two Christmas pageants. I wanted Unitarians to be able to appreciate the message of peace and love without necessarily buying into the messianic doctrine and exclusivity of the Christian faith, which unfortunately has developed over the centuries. So while I still like to sing the old Christmas carols, I also really appreciate a broader view of the season. One such view is expressed by Sophia Lyon-Fawes in her poem, For So the Children Come, in which she says that the birth of every child is special and a holy occasion. Perhaps the message of Christmas is just that simple. New life, new possibility, new hope. It is certainly another way an added way to think about the birth of Jesus. Sophia Lyon-Fawes was an editor, author, teacher, and religious activist who led a revolution in Unitarian religious education. She did not believe we should simply try to hand out a religion to children on a platter. Her teaching and writing focused on a method of experiential learning that she hoped would enable children to develop their own ideas about religion and spirituality. We believe in that principle to this day and owe a great deal to her pioneering spirit in this field. She died in 1978 at the age of 98. Jason Shelton, who wrote the music for this little piece, is a UU minister and another UU Musicians Network member. Jason is from Nashville and has several other contributions in our Teal hymnal. And just as a footnote, he told us at one of our meetings that he was shoveling snow in Nashville when this melody came to him. So let's have a look at number 1061 in your Teal hymnal, number 1061, and we'll sing through For So the Children Come.
Each night a child is born, is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping. Each night a child
And I suppose if that's all we said about Christmas, that would be enough. Other philosophical and religious ideas have also influenced Unitarianism, especially during the late 19th and the 20th century. transcendentalism, paganism, and humanism, to name perhaps the most dominant. Songs reflecting some of these influences evolved over the last 100 years, but today the one theme that all of us are emphasizing, no matter our religious affiliation, concerns ecology. As the state of our world becomes more and more precarious, religious groups of all stripes are becoming more interested in earth-centered religious songs, hoping to highlight our responsibility to become much better stewards than we have been in the past. One writer who takes this theme on over and over again is Jim Scott, a well-known UU troubadour and one of our strongest advocates for a greener earth. He is yet another UU Musicians member, and a composer of powerful music that furthers the ideals of ecology and peace. We all know him for his wonderful song, Gather the Spirit Harvest, you know that one, right? Which has become a mainstay in Unitarian churches. As co-chair of the UU Seventh Principle Project, which is respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, Jim helped develop the UU Green Sanctuary program and created the Earth and Spirit Songbook. Besides being passionate about the words expressed in song, Jim is also passionate about the kind of music he thinks is lacking in our Unitarian repertoire. At our UUMN conferences, he has often brought up the need for more modern and free-flowing music. I remember how he used to talk about a preponderance of what he called four-square hymns. Da-da-dee-da-da-dum-dum-da-dee-da-da-da. He used to go on and on about this. Of course, the so-called four-square approach has its advantages, the main one being that it's easier for groups to stay together when singing songs that have such a regular beat with a syllable on every one. But this kind of church music is too confining, he says, and has limited appeal, especially for younger people, and I think he's right about that. So he tends to write songs that have a more modern feel, such as the one we're about to do, The Oneness of Everything, which he describes as an echo anthem. It's number 1052 in the Teal Book, 1052. I think Jim would probably identify as a humanist, and these words beautifully express his two strongest themes, his concern for the interdependent web of all existence and the need for peace and harmony in our world. The fact that the music is not written as a so-called four-square hymn, however, makes it a little more difficult to sing as a group. So I will sing it through once, and then maybe we can do verse one again together just so that you get the idea of it. And once again, I think you can remain seated for this. So David and I'll do it once, and then we'll do verse one again.
Of hands or light to meet the eye, past the reaches of the mind, there find the key to nature's harmony in an architecture so entwined, like the birds whose path grace the sky and carry all who join in love expanding. The message of peace will rise in flight, taking the weight of the world upon its wings. In the oneness of
verse 1,
far beyond the grasp of hands or light to meet the eye, past the reaches of the mind, there find the key to nature's harmony nature so entwined. Like the birds whose patterns grace the sky and carry all who join in love expanding, the message of peace will rise in flight, taking the weight of the world upon its wings. In the oneness of
he writes beautiful stuff, that man. He's a very, very good musician. Closely related to Jim's ecology-themed work, but even more earth-centered to my mind, is Carolyn McDade's Rising Green, which is number 1068 in the same book. 1068. I say that because the imagery in this song connects us physically and spiritually to the earth in a very direct way. We seem to be the tree and the wind in some mystical sense, as when she said, "My blood doth rise in the roots of yon tree, her sap doth run in my veins." And in verse 3, she says, "Winging my song is the wind of my breast, and my love blows over the land." And verse 4 says, "Wondrous our faith settles deep in the earth, rising green to bring a new day." It's as if we are the earth creating this rising green. There is no separation. There is oneness. And in that sense, it mirrors Jim's song, although I find the imagery even more immediate. Carolyn McDade describes herself as a woman of faith seeking with others to touch what matters. And she has done that with songs we already know and love very well. In particular, I think of Spirit of Life, which has become like a Unitarian anthem. And Come Sing a Song with Me. Let's sing Rising Green now, and if you don't know it, feel free to join in whenever you feel comfortable doing so. We'll do verses 1, 3, and 4. And just as an aside, you'll notice if you look at the bottom that Jim Scott did the arrangement for this song. It's a close-knit group we are. So number 1068, Rising Green, verses 1, 3, and 4. Just stand as you're willing and able.
My blood doth rise in the roots of yon oak, her sap doth run in my veins, boundless my soul like the open sky where the stars forever have lain. I feel the tides as they answer the moon, rushing on a far distant sand. Winging my song is the wind of my breast, and my love blows over the land. Rising green to bring a
She writes lovely stuff, doesn't she? As usual, you guys are a quick study. I've chosen to end this service the way we began, with a hymn by Alicia Carpenter. I find these words so Unitarian in their descriptiveness of the mystery within which we all live. She touches on life and death, our kinship to the natural world, and our place within the ever-spinning universe. I'm always impressed by how much she can say in so few words. So please join me now in singing number 324, Where My Free Spirit. Would you stand as you're willing and able? 324. So I guess I didn't have to read quite so fast after all. We're doing pretty well. As I extinguish the chalice this morning, may we take with us the beautiful sounds and sentiments of the songs we have sung, remembering that they are our songs. May we always be open to the new voices and new songs within our movement, while remaining ever grateful for those hymns that reflect our long and varied history.